Coming up on Patriots This Week, playing their number three quarterback, the Patriots came up with a throwback Thursday game plan.
Yeah, he's going to run, get him into the 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, diving for a touchdown!
And it was good enough to throw down the Texans.
You know, we really asked a lot out of the team this week. Just really proud of the way that these guys competed.
Just 4 days earlier,
let's go, fellas!
Foxborough glimpsed its possible football future after Tom Brady leaves, and its name was Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh boy, we got a quarterback here!
A tantalizing start ended in a football reality, and the mission versus Miami was accomplished the Patriot way.
You hate to see Jimmy sustained an injury, obviously, but, you know, we had to do what we had to do.
It's football, and, you know, everyone's just got to do their job a little bit better now.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
Around Foxborough, you hear the term complimentary football a lot, and on Thursday night, we saw the living definition of it as the Patriots dominated the Houston Texans. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Patriots This Week. Bob Soucy alongside three-time Super Bowl champ Matt Chatham and my radio partner on 98.5 The Sports Hub, former Patriots quarterback Scott Zolak. And guys, the Patriots dominated the Houston Texans. They made plays in special teams. They made plays offensively with a third-string quarterback, a rookie quarterback making his first ever NFL start. And defensively, they pitched a shutout.
Underdogs at home again. And I think the point differential, when that happens, it's happened four times in Belichick's career. The point differential, 25 points average in those games. I think the biggest thing to take from this win on a short week, rookie quarterback, but let's go to coaching right away. Completely outcoached the Houston Texans. Pretty disappointed with the mindset of the Texans. Offense, defense, special teams. They weren't ready for the get-go in this game. Goes to show you the attention to detail, the focus, the walkthroughs, the minimal practices. Again, a rookie quarterback, and they got after the Texans in all three phases. Impressive win.
So biggest thing that stood out for me is this is Thursday game. Pseudo football, right? This is not real. They had a couple walkthroughs. Teams got to fly across the country. It's like playing a quick scrimmage, and what makes the NFL is the game planning portion. And really, the Patriots kicked their butt in game planning, and that's really all it comes down to, because all you're not able to prepare for the crazy Brissett plays we saw earlier. There's no way they could have predicted those. The line you're sort of walking, though, the gamble is that you try to run them and you blow them and you cause yourself more problems. This is the perfect coaching staff to pull off a quick, crazy game plan. Any other coach, I think, would have a little concern. Can we execute something like that without having repped it?
This team's 3-0. And good for Roger Goodell, good for the league, because they try to take something from him. When they take something away from him, that's with intent to penalize and make you less than the other opponent. And they have yet to do that through three games.
Let's start with the Patriots defense, though. And individually, because collectively it was a great performance, regardless of what the Texans' game plan and approach was.
Right.
Jabal Sheer, two sacks getting to the quarterback, just as he did in Houston last year. Logan Ryan continuing to frustrate DeAndre Hopkins, made several outstanding catches early, but a non-factor late. Beyond that, of course, Jamie Collins. Jamie Collins with another interception. Jamie Collins all over the place.
Yeah, here's the issue. So they don't have a lot of tight end production, and I think that's important. And watch for this throughout the rest of the year. When you get into a game where there's no middle-of-the-field guy, and, you know, Hopkins is out there killing stuff on the outside, that pulls a lot of your talent, and that leaves this crazy athletic guy to roam the middle of the field. He's out there in a free hole or rat player, no other responsibility, reading the quarterback's eyes, and just going to get the football. I mean, that's an incredible situation. It'll happen from time to time. If they don't have someone to threaten, that means Jamie has no job, and Jamie is scary in that kind of situation.
There's only three games in here. Right, we're only three games in, but one thing we're learning through three games, there's an identity up front with this offensive line, whether it's Dante Scarnecchia coming back, whether it's Nate Solder getting healthy again. That was about as good a blocking job I've seen Nate Solder in the run game. Marcus Cannon is playing phenomenal right now. They're getting good edge blocking by the tight ends. Right now, they can do what they want in a run game. And when you can do that, you complement it with play action, it opens up everything for you. They're running against nickel. They're running against regular. And you pick your poison.
Special team, Steven Goskowski's kickoffs. Had a couple of field goals, of course, but the kickoffs to execute perfectly directionally and the cover unit forcing two turnovers twice in the game. We saw the Patriots get a field goal, get a fumble, score right immediately thereafter.
King, Ebner, Bolden, Slater. It is a loaded group. I mean, I'm probably missing guys there, but Barkevious Mingo, there's so much athleticism. They've got such a well-built special teams group. When Steve puts that perfect ball, the hang time ball that sits in that maybe 1 or 2 yards deep or even on the other side, and you got to take it out. The coverage units have made more ground because you hung it up a little higher. You put it in a corner where all you can do is run back up the sideline.
Yeah.
And what happens? you don't get any production.
Mindset of the league. That rules in. Another 5 yards up on a touchback. So what does the other 30 teams do? We'll kick it in the end zone and just get our defense out there and give them the ball in the 25. No. Bill says we're going to meet. We're going to talk about it. We're going to lay the kick down and pin teams back in.
Now let's go to Jacoby Brissett, the rookie quarterback. They didn't ask him to do a lot in the passing game. They used his legs. A couple of plays certainly that were evident of a new approach by Josh McDaniels in that game. How did he manage the game, though? Whatever Josh McDaniels asked him to do.
Yeah, I thought it was good, and I thought he picked his spots where he had to. Nice passes to Amendola. I thought a great throw to Amendola in the flat third down, key third down late in that game to keep a drive going. Think about what this kid's done in a matter of 4 days to pretty much be thrust in there, lead the team on two scoring drives against the division opponent, the Dolphins, big front. And then he had one walkthrough to basically get ready. And they're installing plays and walkthroughs as they're moving throughout the week. And he goes out and plays a pretty cerebral game on Thursday night. I was impressed with him. I mean, it's not Sammy Baugh out there, but he made plays with his legs and did what he had to do. He did his job.
Don't be an error repeater. That's what we always say around here. If you were to take any takeaways from the Dolphins game where maybe there was a vulnerability that those Texan guys would get after. I know Vrabes is watching those films and stripping the ball off him. Jacoby in traffic had held the ball really high and above his head. He had the fumble against Miami where he let it go. He had another one where he was spinning and got lucky that someone didn't punch it out. What I was really impressed with going back and checking this out is that the dude in traffic tucked it away, which in my view, somebody got in his ear. You know, in that game week, somebody says, don't do it. He didn't do it. And we've talked about this in relation to Jimmy as well. Jimmy's made mistakes as well, but usually comes back out once the correction's made and doesn't repeat it. That's what you'll love to see in a young guy.
Well, the Patriots in command of the AFC East right now, albeit very early, thanks to their win last Sunday over the Miami Dolphins. When we come back, we'll talk about that game and plenty more here on Patriots This Week right after this.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management, remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of. Waste Management's new Bagster, dumpster in a bag, can take it on.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is on Martellus Bennett. After showing off his blocking skills against Arizona, the 6'6", 275-pounder displayed his receiving abilities against Miami. The 29-year-old from Texas A&M had 5 receptions, including a 20-yard touchdown. Bennett also has a tender side. He's authored a children's book, Hey AJ, It's Saturday, based on his daughter Austin Jett. And he recently donned the Pokemon Pikachu costume at Boston Children's Hospital. The Putnam Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
We're back in the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. Time to turn our attention to last Sunday, Patriots and the Miami Dolphins. And guys, the Pats come blazing out of the gate, 3 for 3, 3 possessions, 3 touchdowns. Jimmy Garoppolo twice to Danny Amendola, Martellus Bennett in between. But late in the first half, about 4 minutes to go, Jimmy goes down with a shoulder injury. Pats would take a 31-3 lead. Then it was a matter of sheer survival.
Yeah, I think the worst thing that came out of this is I think the storyline is Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt. We forget about how good Jimmy Garoppolo played prior to that. It was seamless. You and I called the game, and we're sitting there during some of those breaks thinking, boy, can it get any better than this? I mean, it was seamless. He looked as good as 12 has looked at times.
Yeah, the one thing I would also underscore beyond just the fact that Jimmy looked good, the team looked good. And there was a lot of those situations, especially Martellus' touchdown there, where they had a game they were trying to run with Sue. Mason actually wipes him out. I mean, complete as clean a pocket as you can possibly get. And Jimmy looks the guy off, leaving Martellus wide open. So the whole operation was smooth. Yes, the quarterback was on point, but really that first half was some of the best football you've seen from the Patriots, period.
And against an opposing front, they're able to throw the ball downfield. That speaks to the protection the offensive line was providing. A lot of throws in that intermediate range. Eventually, of course, you mentioned the Martellus Bennett touchdown catch. That's a 20-yard touchdown toss.
What I liked is Miami games a lot, and that means you have to sort of exchange responsibilities. Your guard and tackle are going to switch with the tackle and end, so it takes good communication. We're only week two, and they're moving Karras and Mason in at right guard, so the idea that that guy's got to switch and then pick up Sue, who's one of the better tackles in the league.
The intensity, too.
It's tough, yes.
Yeah, their intensity up front with Miami, I'm impressed with it because they lay their ears back, and they really play hard. You could say what you want about Ndamukong and Sue, but from an athletic standpoint of a man that big, this isn't like Mike Reese in there rushing a passer right here. I'm serious. serious. I mean, these guys are like 6'6", 6'7", 340, and they're tough to block. And I thought Joe Tooney at times, Cameron Fleming had a couple one-on-ones on the backside. For a unit that we had so much concern for, no Rob Gronkowski. We already talked about Bennett. But having these five guys and whether, you know, they slide somebody else in, Shaq Mason on the right. Talked about Teddy Karras. Andrews in the middle. And Marcus Cannon's been pretty darn solid here through two games. He played really well.
You just said it, so look at the lap. You go left guard to guard and the quarterback. How many years of experience
Dante
do you have
Scarnecchia
between the three and the quarterback? Yeah. Good Lord.
Scar, you can attribute a lot
very
of that to
impressive.
Scar, too. I think everybody's on the same page. I think the communication up front's been impeccable.
Well, speaking of Scar, the ability to run for 160-plus yards, 123 from LeGarrette Blount, 29 rushing attempts by Blount. First of all, the mentality. Second of all, the toughness, and then the execution in the running game. How important has Dante Scarnecchia been in all those facets?
I think Scar's been important, but I also think the return of Devlin's been important. I think the addition of Martellus Bennett's been important. I think finding the run scheme that fits your back, Blount perfectly, all of the stuff comes together. And, yes, Scar sort of leads the charge there. But running at the edges, I love it. They get going in a hurry. They're using pullers, all the old stuff, and really collapse in the ends. And I think Marcus Cannon's blocking well on the edge. I think they've really sort of found their ace in the hole, the scheme that works best for them.
Derby deactivated, Clay Harbor activated. Harbor's more of your blocking tight end. I thought he set the edge well. We saw Solder in there on some nice pulls. They have some depth up front, and I think that helps help the rotations up front. But like he said, you know, you play special teams, and you had a good career playing special. It's a mindset. You've got to want to play it. You got to want to run the football. I thought it was impressive when Jacoby Brissett was in the game, and you're running toss sweeps into the short side of the field with no receiver there. And you're running tosses with LeGarrette Blount. You're telling everybody, here we come, baby. And they still couldn't stop it. It was impressive.
So while the offense gets off to the great start, meanwhile, the defense dominates the Dolphins. Miami gets a late field goal in the second quarter, comes out and gives it away early in the third. But then the Dolphins get into the game. It's 31-3. They mount a comeback with three straight touchdown drives. What was the difference defensively?
I thought it took some momentum, some wind out of the sail, so to speak. The stadium got quiet when Jimmy went down. I think it's two different game plans. When you get that type of lead, you're up 31-3. You know, you got your heels back. You've got two high safeties. You've been in these games before where you're blowing someone out. Here, guys, this is what we're going to do. Now, they will never admit it, right? They're going to say, we didn't play well. We got to coach them better, play better. Back up. No big plays over the top. Keep it in front of you. Keep them in bounds. Let's keep that clock rolling.
You hit on the point. Not only keep them in front of you, but keep them in bounds. They're going to let the middle of the field happen. They don't want to run out of bounds. I think this is universal to football. This isn't just the big kids. Coaches don't like being ahead 31-3 with that much time on the clock.
The players, it's a natural thing for you to relax.
You see this happen all the time.
And then once you relax, hard to flip the switch again.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, which I think is the impressive element because they did need one final stop. The final drive was good. And to highlight a guy, Chris Long's rush, a lot of really undersold rushes, I think, in that game where he was getting after it. Jamie Collins' interception there in the middle field. Chris was disruptive on the final play of the game. He gets in, and Tannehill makes him float a little bit, and then the pick happens.
You're being an analyst watching this type of game. It's not fun for you. We're calling a game. We don't like 31-3 games. We're opening a book trying to make up stats. Well, what happened to this kid when he was 13? You're reaching, and that's that Phil stuff you're trying to put in there.
Speaking of funny things, or not so funny things, they're not laughing these days in Western New York. Panic has already set in for the Buffalo Bills. Talk about Rex Ryan and the intense hot seat for him as the head coach of Buffalo right after this.
All right, sleep for losers, right? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do the Zoe Show, Jacoby Brissett, the Pied Piper. And what do you do about the Pied Piper? You follow the guy. Problem is, Texans didn't follow him here. Freeze it right there. What you see? Diamond look right here in the middle of your screen. Everybody's covered. That's a good thing. Means this end's scratching. Watch Brissett right here on the keeper. A little fake to the right. Right there. Key block. Gets him down on the ground. Freeze the tape right there. See this guy right here? Fourth round draft pick. Third round draft pick. These are two rookies. The block right here allows this touchdown to happen. Continue. Watch the tape. So Jacoby Brissett gets the ball in. First touchdown for the young man. And the best thing about an employee is understanding the room, right? What are you going to do? You're going to take the ball back to the sideline. You're going to give it to your mom, your girlfriend. No, you're going to give it to the best coach, the best head coach to ever grace the sidelines after the high five to Josh McDaniels. See, Billy's looking for a five right there. And he gives him the football. Later, Jacoby gets the ball back. There's your game ball. More importantly, there's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
We're back inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. The Patriots, of course, with a division win last Sunday. Meanwhile, the Buffalo Bills suffered a division loss against the Jets a week ago Thursday. And guys, panic set in. Terrible performance by the Bills' defense. What do? They fired their offensive coordinator, highest paid offensive coordinator in the NFL, Greg Roman.
Yeah, it makes you just wonder what was going on behind the scenes, because that makes no sense. Yeah, what's the baseline here? No, but I mean, that usually tells you there was something prior to that, because it didn't make sense on that day. It's like, you know what? No in-game adjustments, I think, was one of the excuses we heard, but you got to presume that there were sort of roots that existed before that game day.
I credit Sammy Watkins for playing in that game, playing through the foot injury. I do, but here's the problem. When you have a guy like Greg Roman that based his entire offense around the production of a guy that, say, he goes down, now you got nothing and you're scrambling. I mean, they were running E.J. Manuel onto the field for fourth down. You know, trying to sneak it because he's out of shape and he's fat and he's 265 pounds. Go with the guy that got you there. If you believe in Tyrod Taylor, you leave him on that field for fourth down. I think it just sends weird signals to your football team.
What about the signals in general when players are having input with ownership before a decision like that is executed?
Who made the decision? Was it ownership or was it Rex that got rid of the offensive coordinator? Then you're an elevator running back coach to that point. Now all of a sudden, you know, he doesn't have a great background in the passing game. They're going to have to score points. I just think it's funny because the day that Tom Brady was suspended, the Bills put out a post on their Twitter with "woo" out there, and it was a picture of Richie Incognito leading the troops out, of all people. I'm a Richie Incognito guy from Miami.
We are.
That's right, because we're football players, right? But it's just, it's kind of karma, you know what I mean? Uphill climb for Rex.
And despite the reunion of Rex and brother Rob, as mentioned, that defense with some serious problems in Rex Ryan's reign as the head coach of the Bills seems to be very limited.
You know, Dennis Thurman is actually the DC, but Rex Ryan calls the plays from the sideline. And Rob Ryan, his brother, my old coach, love Robbo, is a special consultant to the head coach. A lot of cooks in the kitchen.
The one big play early in that game for Tyrod Taylor to Marquise Goodwin came at the expense of Darrell Revis. It's become a story now, 2 weeks into the season. Trouble covering A.J. Green. Difficulty at the outset of that game.
It became a story because I think he tried to play a guy how he used to play. He's an exceptional player. His legs aren't gone. He was never a fast guy. He's never a 4-2 guy.
He's never been a fast guy. He's never been a track guy.
He just has to learn to stay on top of those kind of players. Marquise Goodwin is an Olympic track guy. There are no other Olympic track guys he's going to face. The A.J. Green point's a good one where he just got beat on that day. But I think he's the kind of guy, 6, 7, 8 games will go away, and you'll say, you know, it's still the same guy. He may not be the best corner in football again, but he's still one of the best.
I'd go back to the Super Bowl 49 run here. I think if you take him and put him on the number two guy in their offense, like we saw during the Super Bowl 49 run, he'll shut him down, and then you use bracket coverage for everybody else, and then there's your defense.
Revis is a nothing. He's smart. And I think he'll go back and watch that tape. He'll figure out, you know what, stay on top of that route. Yeah. That's it.
So Darrell Revis, a surprise for many with his struggles early this year. We'll come back with some of the other not-so-pleasant, but as well pleasant surprises through the first 2 weeks of the NFL season right after this.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam. Pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Atlanta may be 1-1, but Matt Ryan is on fire. The former BC QB has 5 TDs and 730 yards. So start Ryan this week against the weak defense of the Saints in New Orleans. And this is one of the rare weeks you'd want to sit A.J. Green. The Bengals receiver torched Darrell Revis in week 1. But Green will find little room to roam when Denver comes to Cincinnati on Sunday. But start Baltimore's Mike Wallace. In 2 games, the Ravens receiver has 132 yards and 3 touchdowns. And expect Wallace and Joe Flacco to score this weekend at Jacksonville. This week's fantasy update is brought to you by Verizon. Come home to a better network.
Inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios, guys, pleasant surprise, not so pleasant surprise. What stands out for you first 2 weeks of the NFL season?
I would say the Sam Bradford thing. I was one of the first people to say, whoa, what was that transaction? Why'd you give up so much for that? I mean, you had Sean Hill. He could hold you through and survive a season with that great defense, but he came in and looked like a difference maker, especially winning, you know, open up the new stadium. That guy's going to be the trivia question from here till forever. Sam Bradford looks like a starting quarterback again.
Yeah, we're in the AFC. I'm an AFC-based team. My thoughts are all AFC-based. You watch Denver play, still got a good defense, managing it with Trevor Siemian. They're still sitting there undefeated. And then you get a team like Pittsburgh. They get the ball to Antonio Brown. Ben's still going. They're playing defense differently, and they smack Cincinnati in the mouth after Cincinnati ran their mouth all week. So it's good to see Cincinnati's back to being Cincinnati.
All right, after two games for the Pats and Garoppolo in a span of 5 days, you guys get the weekend off. Enjoy. We'll talk about the Bills and the Pats, of course, next week. For Matt Chatham and Scott Zolak, I'm Bob Soucy. Thanks so much for joining us. So long, everyone.